Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Everyday Echoes. And I'm just with Kate. I'm just an amazing person. We've just been laughing. Kate, would you say hello?
Hi, everyone.
Why are you shy, Kate?
Not shy. Let's do that.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get to it. How's been your day?
Oh, it's been really intense, but I'm glad it's almost over.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm just like the last person on your task list, and you're like, oh, I'll just stick him off once I record a podcast.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's just start and finish as soon
Yeah,
as possible. No, I'm joking. I'm so excited to be here, and thank you for inviting. Thank you for having me.
I'm happy you're here too. You're passionate for ministry, spell people, and just very I don't know. It's what's the word again? It's I just like it. Like your passion for ministry is so good
Thank
and
you.
power people. And yeah, it would be hearing your story of how the transformation happened, how you were just able to moving from Ukraine down to Glasgow, and how you started being committed, following God, following Jesus, obeying God. And just being the Kate of today. So
The
today
Kate
is
of
for you.
today.
It's your show. You're going to run it as you choose.
I actually don't know what to expect, and I have no idea what I'm gonna talk about, but yeah, it's been a big transformation from what I was 3 years ago and who am I now. Actually, next week is my 3 years anniversary here,
Wow,
which is
that's quite a good
wow.
coincidence. You're recording your story just
Yeah.
before 3 years. So before we start, we'll just pray.
Yeah.
So, Kate, would you like to pray for
Yeah, of
us?
course. Yeah, Lord, thank you so much for the rain that is outside. I'm so excited for this rain. Thank you for giving us energy, giving us strength. Thank you for leading us. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come and we acknowledge you that you are among us. Would you lead this conversation and would you lead our hearts, lead our minds, and let it be a fun and encouraging conversation and also maybe helpful for someone. And yeah, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. How did you come about moving to Glasgow from Ukraine?
Oh, that's such a good question. I went, so I moved here because of the war, obviously. But I moved to Poland first. And I stayed there for 6 months. And but I didn't have that much life there. I didn't have any friends. And it was, for some reason, it was really hard to be integrated there. Although the language is really similar to Ukrainian and the mentality is really similar. But yeah, it was just 6 months. I don't even remember what I was doing during this 6 months. I was just working 6 days a week, probably, and that's all. And one day when I was away, my sister randomly texted me, "Do you want to go to Scotland with me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Because I was sure that she was asking me just to go to travel, like for a week. And I'm like, "Yeah, that's okay." I sent her my passport and all the details, and she's just got our visa. And that's how I found out that we actually moving there, moving here. So, to be honest, I barely knew where Scotland is. It was never my dream, never my goal. It was never my goal to move somewhere from Ukraine. And I was planning to come back to Ukraine from Poland. But yeah, God, I believe that it's surely God's plan, because first day I'm here, I just feel that it's my home. And I feel like something that I know, something similar, and I feel so comfortable here, even comparing to Poland. So yeah, God brought me here, and I strongly believe this. And since then, I stay here. God provided visa, and actually, they answered prayer this last week that they extended the visa for 2 more years, because I was a bit anxious that my current visa is running out, and what I'm gonna do after? Should I move to another country or something? But God provided, and 2 more years.
Wow,
Praise
that's
Jesus.
great.
I'm so happy.
I'm happy for you too. I'm like, what have I done if Kate left?
It was gonna be a big miss for you guys.
We're gonna miss
Don't
you. It's like
know.
being a big part of Scotland already. But how was it like building from scratch again when you moved here?
It is hard, and it's still hard, and I feel like I'm still building and building and building. Yeah. 'Cause I moved here when I was 20, and I just came out of the teen age. So, as I was saying, my mentality was just formed, and my like habits, attitude, understanding of the world, worldview, and understanding of myself and my identity was not quite formed yet, and just trying to do that while I'm also trying to build my life here and try to make friends from the scratch and try to get money and get a job and get degree and also learn language. So it was pretty intense, and it's still intense, but I also enjoy this process, and I cannot recognize myself 3 years ago. And if you would compare, it would be completely two
Yeah,
different
it's like a
people.
massive, like different Kate right now, like a massive
Different
transformation.
kids. Massive different kids.
Yeah, massive different Kate. It's like Kate X to power of 10.
And I also believe that it's Holy Spirit was just refining me so much, and still he does this job. It was lots of insecurities and things that I didn't notice when I was in my comfort zone in Ukraine and my church where I grew up. And when you are in a stressful environment, you start noticing something that you never thought you have. So that's
When did you become a Christian? Was it after you moved here or before you moved?
My mom is a Christian, so I was born in a half a Christian family. My dad used to be a Christian, but he walked away from God. He actually brought my mom to church
Wow.
and then walked away. So my mom is a Christian. My father is not when I was born. And we have our evangelical church just 5 minutes away from our house. So I grew up in the church, absolutely serving there. I was there 6 days a week, I think. I was just hanging around and serving and helping. So yeah, I grew up in a Christian environment. And I gave my life to Jesus maybe like at 13. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit as well in a really young age. But when the war started and the story with my father, it really impacted my faith and beliefs, and yeah, I got lots of questions. I had lots of questions, and then when I was in Poland and when I moved here, the first half a year maybe, I was actually really pretty much away from God.
Yes.
And yeah, it was that point when I was away, when I was searching for something else, or it was disappointment because lots of bad things happened. And also my heart wasn't transformed, and I had a lot, so much religion in my heart, so much settings.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain. So my church is really traditional. It's evangelical, but I grew up in an environment where I think it was really hard for me to see the relationships with God more than following rules.
Yeah.
But I love my church.
Yeah.
It is a really good environment. It was just religion in my heart that stopped me from seeing God as He is and seeing myself as I am. So it was so much, so many additions in my heart when I moved here, and that does not align with who God is, and all these additives that when the grief is coming, or something happens, or like the war, or my father is just being not a really nice father, it starts triggering you, and you're asking who God is.
Yeah.
And when you, when your heart is full of rules and just settings, religious settings. I actually like the word religion. I think it's a good word. So when I say religious settings, it's just additive that people create. So it's only in this context I say religion. So yeah, when hard things happened, I just walked away.
Yeah.
And it was a journey for God to bring me back. And it's
was
the whole story.
Was it in Scotland God brought you back?
Yeah, it was in Scotland. When I just moved here, it was really nice, but it was really hard because you're just in a new place. And it's so different from Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was full of grief, full of anger. And I was just being not on a nice stage of mental health and my attitude, and I didn't do anything like too much. But I remember myself, it was just, it was not me. It was I forgot the word, but it was really a miserable girl who doesn't know what to do and what is the meaning of life. But I enjoyed Scotland, so.
How did you find your purpose? How did you wake up to find, like, to move from the miserable girl to finding God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I was working on my first job here, and it was really hard, and I remember I was so tired, and I watched something about Jesus. And it was something about, like, Jesus has feelings. In my head, Jesus didn't have feelings. In my head, Jesus is just God who rules the world, and he doesn't really expresses anything. So I think it was It was night. I was in my bed and I was just, I think I was just scrolling or something. And I saw the video that Jesus, I think it was Chosen actually, which is another story. I think it was like the first season of The Chosen. And like, when I saw this video, I'm like, no, Jesus didn't do that. Like, Jesus is too human in this video. And then I realized, like, oh wow, Jesus was a human. And he was actually feeling something. And that's where my religious settings were started breaking. And I remember, I think it was that night when I was just crying, obviously. And I think Holy Spirit touched my heart. And I'm like, Jesus, I want to know you as a friend and as a father. Because I didn't have a setting of the good father in my head. Yeah. So that's when where my journey started. And yeah, I was actually at the time I was going to church. I found Rehope at my first month being here, but because of work, I wasn't able to attend all the services. So I was trying to like go to church and be with good people, but I didn't know anything about God. Although I knew lots of scriptures. We memorized our scriptures in Sunday school. We memorized all of the important stuff, gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, like all this basic stuff that you have to know as a Christian. I knew that in my language, and but it was just in my head and just somewhere in a separate room, and I didn't accept that truth. So this is the start of my journey, discovering who God is and who am I. Yeah, then I had more time to go to church. And it was hard to read the Bible, because Bible wasn't exciting, because we had to memorize it in the old language, in my church, and I didn't even know the half of the meaning of this, the things that I memorized, the things that I know. And actually, something really highlighting for me, my first English language Bible, I tell you, it changed my life. You need to read Bible in another language. If you learn any language, read your Bible in that language. You will discover so much. Because I was learning how to speak English, and I was learning the words and the meaning of the words. So I knew the meaning of the words really deeply. And it just like a reset. I discovered so much new, but I already knew this. I just had to read it in a new language. So it was a really big revelation for me. And every time I was reading, I'm like, oh, no way. Oh, no way, it's that passage. But that's what it actually means. So yeah, it was a big discovery, and I loved reading my Bible in English. NLT, of course, because it's simple, but I love it. I love it.
That's amazing. Like, good. Like, hearing your story and how just the little progress you are making bit by bit, getting closer to God
Yeah.
is really inspiring. And like, when you got you started attending Re-Hope, you found a community. Was the community you found was the big part in you surviving? Right, like growing. Like getting acquainted, making this place your own more.
Yeah, do you say community?
Like the church.
Well, it was hard because I was not that much in the church because I was working. But yeah, a community. It was hard to make friends here, not gonna lie. But yeah, in the church in Rehope, the church that I came, there was lots of students, lots of people as I am, same as I am, and lots of welcoming people.
Yeah.
When I came, I'm like, what? Why everybody's talking to me? Like, everybody's just so welcoming. They're asking if I want a popcorn, if I want a drink,
Got a
and
coffee.
that's what bought me. This is what captivated
Yeah,
me.
you walked.
Yeah, I didn't know anybody there, but every Sunday, somebody was just walking. When they were walking around, they're like, "Hi, how are you?" Even the small talks, and I did have relationship with people, but it was just so encouraging to see that good people exist. Like, and this is where I want to be as a community, not like somewhere else, at my workplace. I mean, where I want to build my community and friends. Do I want just, I don't know, download the the apps or yeah, where else? I couldn't find any friends outside the church when I just moved here because I was working obviously. But I started building relationships only after a year being here when I started doing Remain and just before it. Yeah, that's where the relationship started to be built. But yeah, it was hard because I was too self-conscious. I think it's because of like all these insecurities and stuff
How did you
from the
overcome the
heart.
insecurities? Was you drawing closer to God that helped?
Definitely, definitely. As I was growing in my understanding on who God is and who I am, I ceased striving. I love this word, ceased striving, because I was so self-conscious. What should I say? How should I talk? Because obviously English language, and also people should like me because I have to have friends as soon as possible because I am lonely. Yeah, I think I was striving so hard to gain that people would see me
Yeah.
and they would notice me. Yeah, but also it is an insecurity because if they didn't see me, or if I was trying so hard to do something and they're like, they just not ignore me, but like I didn't get what I expected,
Yeah.
I was so devastated after that. And that's where you know that something is wrong. It shouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, insecurities is a big topic for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how I'm still overcoming it. And
Yeah.
yeah, I that's so funny. It's not really funny, but it was funny for me. We were sitting with my sister recently, and we found the videos from like 10 years ago,
Yeah.
15 years ago. And it was just really nice video of all of us together, like my brother, my sister. We were playing outside. It was lots of snow. And the video was really nice, like everybody just having fun. And when sister caught me on camera, the first phrase that I said, it was, "Oh, I'm ugly." That's so. And you can tell that. And I remember now, and you can tell that I was so insecure even from the young age. And I was always like, didn't want to speak really loud, didn't want to show up, didn't want to take much pictures because, yeah, I was thinking that I'm not good. I'm ugly. And that's what I said. When you going to something that the stressful environment you're in, when God placed you to do this, and right, I believe God just refined me this way. He's like, go to Scotland, because you'll be on your own, and you will have to discover something bigger. You suddenly understand that something is wrong in you. You suddenly see the things that have to be refined, and insecurities. This is definitely what I had to deal with, and Holy Spirit really sharpened me, helped me, and refined me for all this the years, I think. And still, I need to do so much.
Well, as a person, sorry to like
As the,
interrupt, as a
yeah.
person, what do you think you're like called to do?
As a person,
What do you think God has called you
God
to?
has called me.
Yeah.
I think I'm still in discovering what God called me to do. Do you mean like as a to do or to be?
Anyone you know now, because I see that you're really involved. You're also involved in church planting, like supporting
Yeah.
church work.
I think God is showing me, and I don't know if it's true, but I feel like in different stages, God is calling you to do different things. So I don't know. I may be wrong, but I'm just being obedient where God is leading me because I think I'm too young. Maybe I'm not too young,
Yeah.
but I feel like I didn't get it yet. What is specific task? As Brian was talking actually on Sunday, like find your thing, like ask God to reveal what is something specific God has called you for your life. I think from seeing my spiritual gifts and how God is leading me and how He refines me, I am definitely a person of helps, and I cannot just sit and do nothing. I really want to help, and I
Yeah.
really want to comfort people. So I love being in a church room environment and be helpful. But coming back to insecurities, this is really dangerous because you're trying to gain the authority, gain the position, and how people view you. So definitely, it was unhealthy for me to do it. Maybe the first year, as I was growing closer and to God and like doing the ministry stuff, it was still helpful for people. But I'm not scared to confess that it was like selfish ambition, just to try to gain so people can see me and I can make friends, which I think we all do, and it's not a secret that human's heart is really deceitful, and it's really hard to not depend on opinions. Like it's impossible, but I'm learning now. How to deal with it, and God is so gracious. I'm learning actually now about humility. Like I'm diving deep into this topic, and I love it so much. And this is what helps me to kind of bring myself back on the track. Like God, I'm actually your child, and you are the only one who matters.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, and we sing these phrases maybe like every second worship song. Like, you are the center of it all, and you are the one who matters. But God's been teaching me that it's actually not what I mean, what my heart means. And seasons thriving, especially when you want to help, when you're actually that person that is happy to help, is happy to be there and be here and not say no, not because I have to, but because I really want to be around people and I love helping, I love new things and yeah. But it wasn't helpful because I was too busy looking at myself. How do I look? Or what do I do? And I think when you're busy, you're not noticing what is helpful for people that you serve. I'm trying to serve God, not people. And it's it can be a big phrase, but if you serve people, you will be discouraged. You will be at the end of the day, you will be out of energy, out of strength, out of joy, out of peace, or out of all this spiritual fruit because you are wasting your time and your thinking and all your energy on pleasing people. So this is the journey I am still on, I think. It's getting better. God has been so gracious and he's been so patient in showing me that I can just rest but also work in the rest. And it is possible to be extremely busy and also be secure. And it's beautiful. So I was gonna say something, but I forgot.
I feel like you're just preaching to me right now. Like,
I
it's like going a
hope I actually
pastor.
make sense.
No, like you've been making so much sense and modern sense. It's like, oh, you're preaching to a church of one right now. But I'm just like, wow, just listening to you. It's like just the words you're just saying from your mouth. And I'm like, wow, because a lot of people find themselves in situations like you, like what you talk about, insecurity, I've also faced it in my life growing up. I felt I was never good enough, although I knew I was good enough. It's like you felt like because you weren't the trending thing, because back in high school, you had the fine boys, you had people that like could do everything, and you're just like, why is your life like this? Why am I not so fine? Why don't I have this kind of air? Why am I not in this kind of way? And I just wanted to run in the shadows of another person, be in the image of another person, until I realized that what I have is peculiar, what I have is unique, and what I have no one else can have. So I should run in what I have, and what I have is probably more than what the other people I'm looking at has. So it's like, oh my, the way God created me, you know, I used to like the same way you felt being not fine, being not, because I would see my friends like partying, you know, back then you're not like, so you're a Christian, but you're like, okay, they're having so much fun. They have a girlfriend, like their life's just moving smoothly. And you're just like, oh, you're just in church. You're just in church. You're just like, just following God. And you're just like, okay, God, like spice up my life too. Make it so much fun. And
Yeah, but why would you want this? Because you just didn't want God, you wanted blessings.
yeah, probably. And you also like people find themselves in like peer pressure or being pressured to be someone else. You know, the society's evolving and everyone wants to stay in vogue. Everyone wants to be part of what is trending. No one wants to be obsolete. And you're like, I want to try this out. I want to have so much spice. But it's now that I've grown, I realize God protected me from all these things. He shielded me from all these things because of what He has called me to be. Just like Jeremiah, it says, from your mother's womb, I have formed you. I've chosen you. Mm-hmm. Like, I've called you by name. And also Paul is saying that, oh, God that did not confer with flesh and blood, who has separated me from my mother's womb. I realized that God has, there's been a separation for each and every one of us that makes our stories different. So Kate cannot be Itunu. Itunu cannot be Kate. I function in my uniqueness. I soar in my space, of influence that God has called me to be. So there should not be strife. There should not be competition. It's like we're completing each other. So what you do, what I do, is just for one purpose, is that when men point to us, we point them back to God. And we're like, oh, this is not me. This is God working in us and through us. You remember when Paul and Barnabas went into a city, and was it they healed a sick or was it they raised the dead? And people thought they were gods. And guess what they did? They tore their clothes and were like, guys, no, no, I'm just like you. I'm just that, like you. And that's the message I've brought.
And this is the humility that we have to have. I love it. And I also wanted to add something, but I forgot. Yeah. Imagine Paul and Barnabas would be just like, yeah, that's okay that they think like that. We just keep quiet so we can do even more miracles, and then we'll tell them that it's God who does that. Like, it's, I would just think, how would I act?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because it's easy to say, you know, there were some people that are forgotten Nebuchadnezzar. Who was king? Was it Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah, I love the story.
Yeah, who was king? And when they heard his voice, they said they thought he was a god. Like, people were praising him. And the Bible says, because he gave no glory to God. Then I'm like, a lot of us can easily judge Nebuchadnezzar. But in our daily lives, we can see us just acting like him. Because we feel like everything happens by our own strength, by our own wisdom. It's because the world has been designed in such a way that everything requires you. Everything is all about you putting in your effort. So it's like, oh, you can do this thing. You can do this thing. Not realizing that there's actually a superior force that makes these things happen, that helps you and keeps shielding you. So when men are like, oh, Kate, you're the most beautiful person, wonderful person, you're like, yes, I know those things are true. But these things didn't happen just because of me. God made them happen. I am what I am by the grace of God.
But it should be a revelation. Like, I've heard this thing so many times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess I believe that as well. And then God is like, no, you actually don't. And he's like, leading me on this journey. And the pride is a big one. I think I'm convinced that I actually not just convinced, I know it's in the scripture, but I forgot, it's, I think it's Peter or Paul in the New Testament. They're like, the world, these three big things the world desires is the pleasure of the heart, pleasure of the eyes, pleasure of worldly pleasure, and pride.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's, I can't remember the literature. First John.
I think First John 2, I think. 2.
Yeah. So everything comes from the pride. Yeah. Everything comes from
the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he now went down saying, oh, I see to you, young men. You know, anytime I read that scripture, I'm like, okay, imagine John just on top of a building and just screaming, I say to you, young men, like, be strong. I say to you, it's like very motivating. I think we should, I'm going to look for it while you keep talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and that means that humility is, yeah. So I'm reading this book about humility, actually.
Yeah.
And I love that the author said. Guys, the author said that humility.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
I found it.
Read it.
It says, 1 John 2, sorry, it was in verse 2, it was verse 15. He says, do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world and do not have the love of the Father in you, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Yeah. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God lives forever.
I love it. Yeah. Amazing. And then I love.
It's really good. And what would you say if you were to encourage people that are building from scratch? Let's say yours was you moving from Ukraine down to Glasgow due to the wars. Another person's situation might be different. What would you advise them? Mm-hmm. What would you advise them starting all over again? Some might be they lost everything and they're trying to find the light in the darkness. How would you, what would be one thing you tell them to do right?
That's a really good question. I would just say one thing, because it's the complex of things, really. But obviously, God is supreme. Jesus is supreme. He's the source. Like, these words, again, these words we hear every day. But he is the source of everything. He is the one who will give you strength, who will give you peace, who will give you joy, self-control, a big one, who will help you and who will also help you in your weaknesses. And I would say seek Holy Spirit, seek guidance. Do not depend on yourself, because you will be crushed. At the end of the day, you would gain something. You would be like cool and nice, but when you come back home, you're like, oh, that's all. And your soul is not satisfied. Rather, is to find new friends.
Yeah.
Start from the scratch. In difficult seasons, you will forget everything you know, all the theological cool stuff, or this, all this cool verses that you memorized. You will forget all of this when you are in a grief, when you are just lost everything, or you're just, I don't know, just moved here for studying. It's the new life and new things, and you're by yourself. But I believe, and I know it's true, that Jesus is not just your savior. He's your father. God is your father, and he is the son who revealed the love of the father. So he showed the father, and he is your friend who is interceding for you, who can support you, not just in your ministry stuff, not just in your praying, not just when you're like trying to be a good Christian. He's supporting you in the messy stuff. He's supporting you when nobody else watching. He's supporting you get out of things that are shameful, get out of things that you don't want even yourself to know. Yeah, seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Lord, his wisdom, and learn to depend on him and only on him, because everything else you will be not satisfied, whether it's relationships or a job or a possession or church ministry or I don't know what else. Sweets. Yeah, depend, and ask Holy Spirit about anything at all. It's better to come to him rather than to yourself or somebody else. And I think God is faithful enough
Yeah.
to accomplish. He's not done with you. And so much to tell, but depend on God. This is my advice. Depend and learn what it doesn't mean to be dependent.
Yeah. Well, it's been like a very good conversation listening to you. I've enjoyed every bit of it. And I'm sure everyone that will listen to this podcast, that will come across this podcast, you gain so much value from your story, building from scratch, moving from the unknown to another unknown, because you moved from Ukraine to Poland, from Poland down to Scotland, and a place, it's just like Abraham leaving his father's house, leaving his mother's house, and you're just down here and thriving and being able to find yourself and not lose yourself, being able to find the signals in the noise.
Yeah,
I'm sure people would find value from your story, and your story would definitely reverberate with so many. Thank you, Kate, for doing this.
Thank you for this conversation.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Take care. See you on the next episode. Subscribe, listen, Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube. Just share. Thank you.